Hey Summit, this is John Friedkin. It is such an honor to be with you today. I live in Lodi, California. I'm not bragging, but to say that I am filming this in a vineyard right now on my friend's property. And so if you hear horses and different things in the background, them starting to get ready for the harvest season of the grapes, I apologize in advance. But I'm gonna roll this up. This is a frying pan. I did do this for the Guinness Book World Records. So those who've seen me before already know that. I'm in the 2009 book a while back, page 12. Tell everybody that because I'm insecure and that's why I highlight my hair. But I'm gonna roll this up like a burrito. So give me a countdown from five and I'm gonna roll this up. Okay, so here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Hey, I wanted to take time and share with you something that's on my heart. And there's a great story in the Bible. It's in the book of Matthew. It's in the 14th chapter. And Peter is on the boat with the disciples and Jesus walking on the water out to him. Peter sees him, asks him, he gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water towards Jesus. And as he's walking towards Jesus, fear grips his heart. He begins to sink. And then Jesus walks over, picks him up and puts him back in the boat. Out of all of the people in the Bible, Peter is one of my favorites because he is the one who's kind of making mistakes, always asking questions no one ever asks. His mouth was shaped like his foot because his foot was always in it. Yeah, I gotta be honest, that's me. I'm always doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, the wrong place. I wear black a lot because it's slimming. You know, I'm always making mistakes. I'm always getting tongue-tied. It's amazing I speak for a living. I was speaking at a camp years ago and I was trying to say the word satisfy. I'm all, God can satisfy you. He can satisfy me. He can satisfy all of us. Like, satisfy, is that an actual word? But one of my favorite stories I talk about, doing the wrong thing happened here in Lodi. And I have a Toyota van, 200,000 miles on it. It's our second one like this. To say all that, I've gotten all the work done at the dealership here in Toyota. So in Lodi, And so I go to get my car worked on this one day. So I pull up, everybody knows me there because I've done talks there. And as I pull up, I have my shorts on, sweatshirt, I'm gonna go to the gym. They say, John, do you need a ride? I said, yeah, I do. They said, that car will take you back. So I walk over and it says Toyota Tercel. And I open up the door, I had a little cup of coffee I got from the dealership. I open up the door and I turn the driver, I go, hey, is it okay if I drink coffee in the car? The driver goes, yeah, I don't care. Now this car is so small. It's a Toyota Tercel. It was really dirty and dusty. It was so small. I had to squat to get into it. And so I sit in the car, buckle up my seatbelt, close the door. It is so tight in this car. Me and this man are touching shoulders. Like his head's like right here, you know. But he doesn't turn the car on. Like maybe like 15, 20 seconds go by. Now, that doesn't sound like a long period of time, but when you're in a car with a stranger, I mean, it feels like an eternity. And he turns and looks at me. He goes, I'm here because my lights don't work. And I realize he's not my ride. He's a customer. So I drink some more coffee. I unbuckle my seatbelt because I've strapped myself into this man's car. And I go, let me get someone to help you with your lights. So I get out of the car and I walk up to the service manager. His name is Tom. And I am crying because I'm laughing so hard. And I go, Tom, I go, I just sat in that guy's car. He goes, you know what? I go, I thought he was my ride. Well, the gentleman walks up and I go, I don't know what to do. I go, this is Tom. He's one of our best employees. He's going to help you out today. And he goes, hey, no problem. He goes, thank you so much. I go, hey, no problem. You know, and I walked behind him because when they were saying that's your ride, they were pointing at the van that said Giveki Toyota. They weren't pointing at the car. They were pointing at the van. And I open up the van and the driver's in there. He's laughing out loud. He goes, I saw the whole thing happen. So like, I am always doing the wrong thing. I'm always doing, well, okay, yeah, I got one more. I promise it'll be it. I make a face a lot when I want something. My wife tells me I do it a lot. She says, I do it a lot when I'm speaking. So like, for instance, I'll be at the airport and I go up to the gate agent. I want certain seats on the plane. I go, hey, can we sit in these seats? Or I'll talk to a pastor before the service. I go, hey, can you take an offering for our ministry? Doesn't always work. But I was on a TV show in San Francisco It was a news network, and they want to talk about what's happening in schools with the anti-bullying program and suicide that's happening. So they wanted to interview me. So they're asking me all the questions, and at the end of my interview, they look at me, and the camera comes in really close, and they say, John, if someone wanted to have you come to their school, how can they get a hold of you? And the camera came really close to my face. I go, you can go to our website, feelthepower.org. So I am always doing the wrong thing. But what I like about this story in the Bible about Peter, at least he had enough courage to get out of the boat. And what I've realized, there is three reasons why people don't usually get out of the boat in life. One, it's the fear of failure. People don't get out of the boat in life. They don't make big decisions. They don't commit to things because they're afraid they're going to fail. They're always looking at the past. It's like you're driving down the road. You have the steering wheel, you have the windshield, you have the rearview mirror. You don't drive by looking in the rearview mirror, but you look at the windshield. At times you look into the rearview mirror to see what happened behind you. We learn from the past, but we can't let the past dictate our future. In our time that we're going through right now, in this season of another kind of setback and lockdowns and requirements, can I say this to you? Don't be past possessed, be forward focused. Don't let the past dictate our future. Don't always talk about the way things used to be. Let's look forward. Because I'm going to tell you, the future is bright, it's hopeful. And you can't give in to that fear of failure. That's the first reason. The second reason why people don't get out of the boat, this is my opinion. I'm not a long speaker. The second reason is the fear of people. Can I just be honest and just be vulnerable with you for just a moment? This is what I battle with. This is my struggle in life, is the fear of people. And the fact is, I am the classic people pleaser. I'm afraid to say no to people, because if I say no to them, I'm afraid they're not gonna like me. They won't be my friend. And so I'm constantly trying to get that approval for people. And this is what I've realized after all these years of traveling and all these years of doing this, people aren't gonna like me. And I don't know why. I'm a great guy, according to my mom. But I have to always remember not to give in to the fear of people. Don't worry about people's opinion of me. I gotta be who I am. Someone said to me years ago, said, John, you're born original. Don't ever die a copy. Be who you are, a wonderful original. That day that Peter got out of the boat, I'm sure there was other people in that boat who are criticizing him, critiquing him. Look at Peter, trying to get closer to Jesus. I don't know what this means, but I do it. But they're critiquing him. There's gonna be people in your life who are gonna criticize you. Can I say this? Always be careful the people you allow into your life. Be careful the people you allow into your boat. You know, the person's always talking bad about someone. I always tell students, if they're talking bad about everyone else when you're not around, they're talking bad about you. You gotta be careful those people. They're a bunch of backbiters. See, John, what's a backbiter? A backbiter is a backstabber who's temporarily misplaced their knife. Be careful the people who are always negative, who are always complaining. You know, I wanna put people in my life who will be positive, the people who are gonna be encouraging to me, who are gonna be there for me. Good friends, and someone said this years ago, I'll never forget, good friends will brag about your strengths and defend your weaknesses. I'm gonna say that again. A good friend will brag about your strengths and defend your weaknesses. I have a ton of weaknesses, but I am so fortunate that I've had people in my life who will defend my weaknesses and brag about my strengths. So those are the people I want into my boat. So when you're at work or you're on social media, wherever you are, be careful of people who are always complaining about people, about authority, about different things, because you don't want that in your life. You want people who are gonna be positive and uplift you. I've told students for years, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You show me five of your closest friends, it tells me what type of person you are. So we gotta be careful of those people who we allow into our lives. But like I said, there was people who were criticizing Peter that day. And I'll never forget, I was speaking at a church years ago and a lady walked to us at the very end of the service and she said, I don't like the way you're doing it. You know, bending, breaking stuff, making a mess. I don't like the way you're doing it. And we said, ma'am, in all due respect, how are you doing it? I don't like the way you're doing it. I said, how are you doing it? She goes, I'm not doing it. I said, I like the way I'm doing it, but in the way you're not doing it. She didn't laugh. See, it's the fear of failure. It's the fear of people, but lastly is this, it's the fear of the future. What's caused fear in our society right now? What's caused fear around the world? Is we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's gonna happen. We don't know what's gonna happen with the pandemic. We don't know what's gonna happen with our economy, natural disasters, wars, protesting, whatever the case may be. Whatever it might be, we worry about that fear because we don't know what the future holds. But there's an old saying, I don't know who holds the future, what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future in the palm of his hand, and that's Jesus. I started going to Israel 19 years ago. I've been 40-something times now, but I'll never forget back in 2007, because I go and do schools there, I went up to the Sea of Galilee, and we're on this big boat, they call Jesus boats, and they could hold up to 200 people, quite a bit bigger than the boat that Peter was on that night. But it was there was this boat that we were out on with just our family and some friends. And so we're out there and we're on the Sea of Galilee. And I walked over to the man who was driving the boat. And I said, sir, every time I come to the Sea of Galilee, it's always calm. It's always clear. I go, does it ever get very choppy? He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, it can get so choppy, these waves can go between 2 or 3 meters, like 8 to 9 feet. He goes, the Sea of Galilee sits in such a geographical cup that these waves come up so fast. And he explained to me that a wave in an ocean compared to a wave on the Sea of Galilee. He goes, a wave on the ocean goes up, it goes down, it goes flat. It goes up, it goes down, it goes flat. But on the Sea of Galilee, it goes back to back to back. So I start thinking about this story. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and Peter decides to get out of the boat. That is not the best time to get out of the boat. Maybe 8 to 9 foot waves, it's crashing around, it's dark out, and he decides to get out of the boat. That's not the best time. Dark at shore is the best time to get out of the boat. If that, one thing I learned from that story and that part is this, if you're waiting for everything to be perfect to take that step of faith, it never happens. You just gotta take that step. But before he got a boat, he did ask for permission. So let me take you back to that night. Now, I'm gonna be kind of dramatic, and in my version of this is not what the Bible says, this is what my version is. And this is what I kind of think in my mind could have happened. He gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water and he sees Jesus. A wave comes by, it blocks him, he can't see Jesus. The wave moves, he sees him for a second. The next wave comes, he can't see him. And I believe one of the times he can't see Jesus, fear, it grips his heart. And it says, he began to sink. Now, to give Peter some credit here, he doesn't swim back to the boat. He cries out to Jesus and he asks for help. And the Bible says immediately Jesus went to him. It didn't say he got a group of people, a committee of people to figure out what to do, took a vote. It didn't say he took a picture, put it on Instagram, see how many likes he had, or did a TikTok of it. It was none of that at all. It says immediately he went to him. Wherever you're watching right now, wherever you're at, can I say this to you? If you're going through a tough time, if you cry out to him, immediately he goes to you. Immediately. So Jesus walks over to him, and scripture says that he says to him, you have little faith, why'd you doubt? But I think in my mind, it could have gone something like this. 3 o'clock in the morning, on the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago, I believe Jesus went down, wrapped his arms of love around Peter and said, don't worry, I was just behind a wave. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know what you're gone through or what's been happening. But can I tell you this? He hasn't turned his back on you and he hasn't forgotten you. He's heard every prayer you pray, seen every tear that's rolled off your cheek. I grew up, as many people know, since I've been to Summit before, that I grew up labeled mentally handicapped, struggle with my speech. I don't use notes to this day because the words move. And so I've had a lot of battles in my life, but there's something I want to end with that I don't always share. And that is I had a severe battle my whole life with anxiety and panic attacks. I grew up in Lafayette, California, right by Berkeley. There was a professor there, a teacher, who's a psychiatrist, and he came to me. I would go visit him, and he worked with me. He gave me a rock, and every time I got scared, I was supposed to rub that rock. One time I was in sixth grade, and I was having a panic attack, and I jumped to my feet, and I ran out of the class without permission, ran down the hall, got into the bathroom, got behind the toilet, and I rubbed that rock. I rubbed it so hard, I had a blister on my thumb. You know, let me fast forward. At 16 years old, I got invited to go to a camp, and that last night of that camp, God just totally touched my heart. That day, I got up in heaven, saw a Jewish boy that couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't talk. He loved me, he accepted me, and all my anxiety and panic attacks went away that day. Oh, it was a great day. Now, for the sake of time, let me fast forward again to April 2005. I was invited to go to Sri Lanka, it's the island off of India, to go speak at a camp for 400 students that have never heard the name of Jesus before. I don't travel by myself. I always try to bring my family with me, but our finances were tight and just couldn't afford to pay for all the tickets for us to go. My daughter was 2 at the time. They were in the middle of a civil war, and we just felt like I needed to go. So I drove from Lodi to the San Francisco airport, and as I'm driving down the road, it hit me. I'm having a panic attack. I mean, I'm so scared. And I don't know if you can really understand unless you've gone through it. And sometimes it's one thing, but it's the fear of having it hits you too. So I called a couple of people, had to pray for me, and it kind of helped, but I just forced myself to get to the airport. I end up in Hong Kong the next morning. It's early, it's dark out, and I had to put my sunglasses on because I'm crying so hard. And I fly to Singapore and up in Colombo, Sri Lanka. They pick me up, they take me to my hotel room in the middle of the jungle. The manager walks me into the room. All the furniture's pushed in the middle of the room. I go, why is the furniture like that? He's all, because of snakes. I'm all, oh, great. I didn't even hear that. I went and spoke at the camp. It was awesome. 400 students that never heard the name of Jesus before. 400 students ask him into their heart, are filled with his presence. Over half of them feel a call into full-time ministry. And they're still in it today. But I would speak, I feel great. I would go back to that room. I would lay on the bed all night long and just cry in a fetal position. I would pray. I would read his word. And it was like nothing. I felt all alone. See, this is not what I agreed upon with the Lord. I believe in him. When my family tells me he's just a good person, I go into ministry when everyone's telling me not to in my family. I go onto the other side of the world on a ticket that I had to pay for. And all these feelings of my past come up. I felt like that little boy behind the toilet again. I got done with the last service. Felt fine. It was good. Driving the car back to the airport, and there's a pastor driving and a youth pastor in the front, and then I'm in the back. And all of a sudden, our conversation just kind of stopped naturally, and it was just quiet. As clear as it was day, God spoke to my heart. He said these words. He said, John, you're not alone. That might not mean much to you, but for someone who spent his whole life eating lunch by himself, who didn't get invited to birthday parties, it was like God just gave me a hug that day. See, you're not alone. The fear that you feel at times, and I don't even say anxiety, I don't want to give that word more power. The anxious feelings you feel, the battles you go through, can I say today, you're not alone. You're not alone. He has everything under control. Might not look like that on the news. Might not look like that on social media. Might not feel like that sometimes in your heart. But I want to tell you, he does. He does. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Getting out of the boat can be scary. It can be nerve-wracking. But I want to encourage you to get out of the boat today. Don't give in to the fear. Like when Peter got out of the boat and he's walking in the water, I'm sure he got wet and he was sort of sinking. And I feel that way. I feel like when I've got out of the boat in my life, do what I do. I don't use no's. Like I said, I still stutter. I still get tongue-tied. I've messed up a lot in this message today in my thought process. Sometimes my mind goes faster than my mouth and vice versa. But at least I get out of the boat. And I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat rider. I want you to know how much God loves you, how special you are. The best days are the days ahead. Don't look in the past, but look to the future. Don't give in to the fear of failure, the fear of people, or the fear of the future. You are so amazing. Father, I pray for every person who's watching right now that God, you would touch my friends. And I pray the strength you've given to me as a little boy, you would give it to them. For those who toss and turn at night, who can't sleep, who feel anxious, who feel scared, who don't know what the things are going to happen down the road. Lord, I just speak faith to them. I speak strength to them and joy of their life. Take away every thought of depression and thoughts of giving up on the gift of life, and just put peace in their lives. Put peace in the home and give them strength in the building. Every door, every opportunity, every blessing you've given to me, Lord, would you triple it for every person who's watching right now. And I pray this right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. It's been such an honor to be with you today. Please know you are so special, and let's get out of the boat.